You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well here on this May 11th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Christian Griffin here with you in the studio this afternoon. No Mr. Jacob Goins, as he is out traveling up every single road you could imagine over the past, what feels like 3 or 4 days, trying to make his way down to Enterprise, up to Troy, back up to Auburn, possibly to Opelika, and now back down to Troy, possibly back to Auburn, and then back to Enterprise again. That's been the road for Mr. Jacob Goins here over the past couple of days with Auburn High School baseball and the weather that's just worked its way throughout the state over the past couple of days. But we hope you're doing well here on this Monday afternoon, and my goodness, do we have a whole lot to be able to dive into and talk about this afternoon. We got Auburn baseball news, and my goodness, a whole lot to talk about, and rightfully so. I don't know if there's a hotter team in all of college baseball right now. We get to talk about 6 straight series wins, the longest streak since 1985 for the Auburn Tigers to do so in one series. We have player news in terms of more awards given to this Butch Thompson-led squad, and another freshman that picks up his 3rd Freshman of the Week honors. And just by watching the series, you can probably imagine who it would be. He hit his 10th home run over the last weekend. We'll talk about where Auburn stands right now in terms of SEC play, in terms of just the updated standing, 16 wins with another series to go. Really, really exciting on that forefront. We'll also take a look at some of the numbers for Auburn in comparison to just the other teams around them, whether that's RPI, whether that's strength of schedule, whether that's the same things, but looking at the non-conference, and then also just quad one, and how we talk all about it in terms of basketball. The quad one system means just about everything. It doesn't necessarily dictate everything in terms of college baseball, but that's arguably what drives the RPI. That's arguably what drives the strength of schedule. And Auburn's numbers compared to just about everybody around them is absolutely insane. We'll also talk Auburn football. Alex Golish got himself a quarterback. And after you feel like seeing the logos on graphics for months, Auburn finally lands a guy from our neck of the woods, the Peach State from Brookwood High School, Gary Chapman Jr. We'll be able to talk a little bit about him, his numbers, and some of the quotes that the experts are giving to Mr. Chapman. All of that coming up in a really, really fun hour number one. Also, some high school updates in there as well. We got our guy, my good buddy Tripp, here with us in the studio. Tripp Upton joining me on the show here this afternoon. I know you're excited for a very, very fun show, but happy Monday to you. We both made our way back to Georgia over this past weekend.
Happy Monday. I hope everyone had a great Mother's Day.
Yes.
That's definitely, you know, shout out all moms everywhere.
Shout out the day ones.
Day ones.
Literally.
Honestly, negative
the,
days.
The negative 9-monthers.
Right, exactly. So, was able to do that. Was able to get on the golf range a little bit.
Ooh.
I've been out of the game for a while.
Trying to keep up with Jacob?
Mm-hmm, yeah, my goal is to become the fourth man of the scramble group at some point eventually. But happy Monday, and we have a loaded show. You know, you talked about hour number one and hour number two. You know, we'll get to talk to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah.
Get to talk to him kind of about everything. We're going to talk about in hour number one, but from the university side of it, we'll be able to talk about the best team in Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves, going to LA and whooping up on the Dodgers. That was incredible, that one. And we actually are going to also have a guest to start hour number two that you cannot miss.
No, you can't miss because you're used to hearing him.
You're used to hearing him. Maybe a little too much.
maybe a little bit too much. Maybe the, I don't know if he's the first, but definitely one of those scramble partners. The range session, you talked about it before we went on air. You said contact was good, but everything was left, right?
Contact was great. I mean, I could show you the ball markings on my clubs. That was, okay. It was pure center. But, you know, when you close the club, you know, it looked like Tiger Woods if every fairway was hooking to the left. A couple balls might have hit the road and bounced toward the parking lot. Apologies to any car windshields that might have been over there. But, again, it's just opening and closing the club face, making sure that's good. You know, I had some buddies there, that the ones that aren't going to make fun of you for being bad, the ones that are going to be like, you know, we know you're not as good. Let's help.
Sure.
Got always important.
I mean, that's what Jacob says, too. Tiger Woods, as long as the fairway was straight right. And so between the two of you, you're like my swing, just right down the middle of the fairway.
Yes, of course, yeah. But unlike Tiger Swings, I wasn't on the phone with the president. So.
No, you were not, and you were driving where you should be.
Right, but you can be on the phone with us.
Man.
Right here.
You can. If you want to be a part of today's show, again, with Jacob out, no text box. But the phone lines are open for the entire first hour. They'll be closed the majority of the second hour. So if you would like to be a part of the conversation, if you want to get your thoughts out on Auburn baseball, Auburn football as well, again, that's a lot of what dominates hour number one here this afternoon. You can do so at 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390, the phone lines to get you connected to us. You can be a part of the program. You can be on the line. And partner, what better way to start the show than a victory Monday? Very good start to the week. Auburn baseball wins its sixth straight series. And you say that, and it means one thing. Then you say that it's the sixth straight SEC series, and it means a whole nother one. My goodness, a fantastic weekend. After dropping game one, 10-3, everybody kind of held their breath and thought, okay, everybody talked about this Auburn team being challenged and going to one of the toughest places to play in all of college baseball at Duty Noble Field. You drop a football score in game one, and unfortunately, you scored as many points as you did against Kentucky at home in football last year. So maybe it did look like a football score. You drop that one 10-3, but you respond back with a 5-4 win in game two. And then, my goodness, the bats come to life. Alex Petrovic was lights out after the first two innings, which is kind of a tale for him. But, man, you get past that and you feel like he begins to hit the cruise control button. Auburn wins its sixth straight series and its third on the road in that stretch at some of the toughest places to play. I know you had a little bit of chance to watch this. Your thoughts on what Auburn baseball was able to do this weencend?
I think you said it, you know, encapsulated it perfectly, that it's not just three SEC series that you've won. It's three on the road in tough ballparks, right? I think that is such a big factor on why this team has been so successful, because they're not scared to go on the road and pick up big wins against their SEC opponents. The SEC, by and large, I don't think I'm going to ruffle any feathers in this part of the country saying that they're the best league in baseball, top to bottom. You know, you might look at the top two teams coming out of the Big Ten and the ACC and UCLA and Georgia Tech, but going to Starkville and getting a big win is just so impressive and just encapsulates like what this team's about. Of they're not scared of anybody, and that's what Coach Thompson and this staff is going to preach to them. I mean, look, you're heading on. You went in Starkville. You went in College Station. And you're just playing good baseball. I think that's just so important for this this team. And you look at the pitching, the hitting, and everything that went along with it. Auburn is now setting up for a titanic series against Georgia this weekend. I'm very excited for that one.
A series win over Arkansas, a series win over Kentucky, and then it really got started again. The series win in Gainesville at the Condren Family Ballpark, which is a very, very tough place to play. You come back, you win the series against Oklahoma, and then you go to something that, my goodness, we've had circled on our calendar, on our schedule all season long of, man, you got to find a way to get wins before you hit this stretch of Bluebell Park in College Station. And then at Duty Noble Field in Stark, Vegas, Mississippi, because those two teams, when they're playing their best, are very, very tough to beat. Those two ballparks, when their teams are playing their best, are very, very difficult places to play. And you'll hear the players, you'll hear the coaches talk all about that. They'll be the first ones to tell you. And if you watched all of the games here this afternoon or even listened on the radio over on Wings 94.3, I mean, you got to hear the crowd noise play a big-time factor, yet Auburn able to play spoiler yet again, another rubber match that is won by this Tiger staff. You only need seven innings to do so. The bats come to life after a frustrating Friday night, I would say, in a Saturday, or I guess a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, apologies, the Thursday night game. Friday night, bats were still very frustrated, and by no means did you play your best baseball whatsoever. You left so many runners on base, you couldn't get bunts down, you couldn't do what you needed to do, but Chase Fralick comes through when Mississippi State has all of the momentum. A solo jack to lead off the top of the ninth inning to kind of put the ballpark in a little bit of a shock. It didn't even feel like Auburn was able to celebrate it because it felt like it didn't necessarily give the momentum back to Auburn. It felt like, if anything, it just stalled the momentum that was there for State. But my goodness, the biggest swing of the weekend, arguably the biggest swing of the season for one of the league's hottest hitters in Chase Fralick, and how nice it was to see him come back after what was an incredible five-game stretch leading up to Game 2 against Texas A&M. Struggled in Game 3 and against UAB, and then again against Mississippi State in Game 1. But the ability to respond, the ability for this team to take every single game with what it is, just a single game. Auburn responds in Game 2, and then they dominate in Game 3. Partner, get some of these numbers. Auburn has 16 SEC wins total, that would be pretty impressive, but yeah. 16 wins with a series to go. You lead the SEC with 15 wins away from home. That in itself is incredible. 15 wins away from your home ballpark, whether that is neutral sites, whether that is on the road, just 15 wins away from home. You also lead the league with top 25 wins, with 14 of them.
14. And I didn't know that number.
And
that
doubling down on that, you're atop the league with top 10 wins, with 11 of them. So this is not teams that have just scraped into the top 25 that Auburn is A, having to play, but B, are just straight up beating. 11 top 10 wins for this Auburn team. We'll dive into some more of the numbers here in just a moment when you look at RPI, when you look at strength of schedule, and how every single one of these numbers continues to favor Auburn in terms of a very deep postseason run. And my goodness, those are the exact reasons why.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like once it's all said and done, looking at this playoff bracket, I wouldn't be surprised if at least 40 to 50% of all the regional hosts lost to Auburn. I mean, you look at like Georgia Tech, you look at Mississippi State, Arkansas, you look at teams, you know, that could sneak up there. I know, you know, Nebraska has been a solid team. I don't know if they're going to host one, but they'll probably be a really highly rated two seed. Jacksonville State, I mean, they're a team, Auburn did not beat them, but they play tomorrow. If Auburn can get a win there and steal one against Georgia, that's another couple that could possibly jump up there. But it's just so impressive to see what the teams that Auburn has played. And looking at their record and resume and the numbers, you would think it's an inverse. Like, you think that that Auburn is just playing South Carolina and LSU every week. No, they're playing in Gainesville, in College Station, in Starkville, which I do want to put a slight pause. Did you see the videos of the fans at State giving Bubba Terrell all the food?
Yes.
Have you, like,
during the game, did you see his Instagram story afterwards of him carrying plates off the fields?
I've seen so much, like, that, like, divisive language, like, talk over that. Like, give the kid food. Like,
and homecoming for him in his home state, too.
Right. Like, exactly.
Auburn fans are all talking about how it's like, man, this is why Mississippi State knows baseball and does baseball well.
Starkville and Auburn get compared a lot as two of the smaller towns in the SEC. I have no ill will personally to Starkville and Mississippi State. Obviously,
other than Josh Hubbard.
Yeah, Josh Hubbard.
That's about it.
Yeah, we got our get back in the SEC tournament. We did. But I the people there, again, it's just they know baseball, and that's I think that was the perfect way to encapsulate that. I just had to comment on that, ask your opinion on it.
Yeah, it's awesome. You're seeing all the Auburn fans talk about how awesome it was, and about half the Mississippi State fans are like, this is why we're losing. This is why our team is weak mentally and our fans aren't bought in. And it was like, I don't know about all of that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
On Saturday when you're down 13-2, what left is there to do other than give some guys some
top 10 baseball team, by the way.
Like, yeah.
We're the sky's not falling.
No, and you mentioned it. If the RPI sat where it does right now and all of the top 16 teams in terms of RPI get regional sites, you would have beaten number 2. You have a win over number 4. You have a win over number 7. You have a series win over number 10, number 11, number 12. You're about to play 14. You have a series win over number 15. That's incredible.
That's half the field.
That's half the field, much less you continue going with a series win over Oklahoma. You have a series win over Arkansas at 26. You have a series win over Kentucky at 30th. You play Jacksonville State, who is 32nd, by the way, again tomorrow night.
So
many chances for this Auburn team to, weirdly enough, continue to build their resume. You still have one more series to go. And, man, we've talked about it all season long, about if you can get to 14 wins with this schedule, you don't hate where you're at. If you can get to 15-15 in conference play, my goodness, the non-conference is going to hold a whole lot of weight, and it's going to make it to where a regional site is going to be a lock. A super regional spot, a national seed, could be a major part of the storyline. You're at 16 wins, and you still have a series to go, and my goodness. I mean, we get talked about with all of those numbers and all of those storylines, and again, we'll dive into some of those here in just a little bit, but you still have at least 4 more games, meaning the 3 against Georgia and at least 1 in Hoover, before the real postseason gets started. The idea that Auburn could get to 17, 18, 19, and if all is willing, 20 wins in Southeastern Conference play,
they'd be probably national number 3 at the lowest.
At the very, very lowest, make it to where Plainsman Park would have no questions about hosting a regional, and if all things worked in favor of the Auburn Tigers, a super regional as well.
And I think another thing that when you were listing off those teams, a lot of the wins, the series wins that Auburn had is against the national seeds, but like the 8-16 range, those teams that they would host a regional and then come to your place for a super regional.
Yeah.
That's an advantage immediately for Auburn, where they've played that series already. They know, they've already seen that team. They're going to know what to expect. It's not going to be where it's going to be, man, you know, we didn't play Coastal Carolina this year, let's say hypothetically, you know,
sure,
where it's like they come out of nowhere and they're hot and they don't have, you know, there's not a lot of tape as with high quality competition versus, oh, we've seen all these teams before, let's just go play. Let's do the same thing we did last time. If it worked, great. If it didn't work, let's change it. That's such a big factor that's going to help this team. If they can get through the regional round, if they, depends who they get matched up with, if they can get through to the super regional, like, then you probably look at a better chance of going to Omaha than not.
And it continues the storyline that we have indirectly given to this Auburn team of, man, there may be number ones for certain teams. There may be aces that are quote-unquote better or have better nights than the Auburn staff or even the Auburn lineup does. But if you're the Auburn Tigers, you throw your 4 guys in a 3-game set that you expect, and you put the lineup out there the way that you continue to see confidence and the way that you continue to see the home run ball be hit as well, it gives so much confidence to what a 3-game series could look like. And you've seen that over the past couple of weekends of, yeah, we may have an off night. You may get the better of us in one game. We're going to go win the series, and we're going to be better than you in 2 of the 3. Auburn wins their 6th straight SEC series, setting the longest streak in one season since 1985. We'll take a break here to start hour number 1. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the defense that doesn't necessarily get highlighted the way that it should be for the Auburn Tigers. We'll also take a look at some of the numbers, the strength of schedule, the RPI, the non-conference RPI, and maybe take a look at Game 3 elsewhere outside of Auburn and Mississippi State, just to show you how good Auburn's pitching has been and how, my goodness, they're in such a good spot when that rubber match meets the road. All of that coming up as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. In 1803, President Thomas Jefferson faced an opportunity. France controlled a massive stretch of land west of the Mississippi River, called Louisiana. Jefferson wanted the port of New Orleans, but Napoleon had other plans. France needed money, so instead of just selling New Orleans, Napoleon offered the entire territory for $15 million. With one deal, the United States doubled in size, opening the door for expansion, settlement, and a nation stretching coast to coast. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin, man. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, got one more segment on baseball. Then we flip over to the gridiron to talk a little bit of football in there as well. But again, if you would like to be a part of the conversation, the phone lines are open up until 3 o'clock here this afternoon. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390. And we've talked all about it using words about how good this Auburn team is. How about we dive into some of the numbers, because we talk about it. Boys lie, girls lie. You know what doesn't lie?
Numbers don't lie.
Numbers do not lie. Auburn right now sits at third in terms of RPI in the entire country behind UCLA and Georgia Tech. But there's still something that Auburn has that's better than everybody, and it's the strength of schedule. Auburn has officially played, and it's not going to get easier over the next four games to conclude the regular season. Auburn has the toughest schedule in all of college baseball. And that is something that is usually said in terms of like, okay, well, yes, but the record doesn't necessarily line up with it, or this team is so much better than what the record shows. It's the Florida Gators over the past couple of years of, man, people are talking about it of, if this team gets eight wins, if they go 8-4, that's equivalent to a lot of the Big Ten teams going 11-1 just because of the teams that you have to play. Your Auburn of the SEC West, where it was like, holy cow, you look up and down the schedule, and if Auburn gets nine wins, it shows that they're one of the best teams in the entire country, but you use that as a denotation, as a negative to explain why something didn't go your way. Couldn't be more polar opposite for the Auburn Tigers, because not only do you have the toughest schedule in the entire country, you're beating them. Auburn 35-15 overall right now. The number one strength of schedule. And it didn't even start with Southeastern Conference play, partner. You made its way. Auburn had the number two non-conference RPI, the 18th ranked non-conference strength of schedule, which got us talking about where if you went 14-16 or 15-15 in conference play, that was then going to hold a lot of weight. But my goodness, you look at those numbers that Auburn has, and then you look at some of the other teams, and not calling anybody frauds or anything, but by no means does that hold the same amount of weight that it does for Auburn.
No, not at all. I mean, looking at it like from a, at least in my mind, as a in a basketball sense, kind of with the quads, UCLA has three quad 3-4 losses. So they lost two games in quad 3, lost one game in quad 4. Georgia Tech lost one quad 4 game, lost one quad 3 game. Auburn undefeated in quads 3-4. They're taking care of business against lower, you know, quality opponents. I think just UCLA, they are 16-1 in quad 2, so they're good against decent teams, right? That's, and for reference, that is your home 26-50, away 61-21, and neutral 41-80. And that's just a really interesting, you know, fact of like, yeah, they're so good against these quad one, but Auburn's played 25 quad one games.
Yes, compared to 10, 21, 22, 14, 18, 8. Auburn's played 25 quad one games.
USC's 0-8 against quad one, and they're the eighth-ranked team in RPI.
Quality losses, baby. Holds a whole lot of weight.
Some team is going to be licking their chops to go out. I bet you, I'm booking it now. I don't know if this is a JG guarantee level, But I wouldn't be surprised if like a UC Santa Barbara is the number two team
sure.
heading out to Los Angeles to take on the Trojans and winning that region. Like that, you can't be 0-8 against Quad One. That's again, that just doesn't win games. But Auburn, again, 25 Quad One games, winning record in those games. You know, pretty solid against Quad 2, but just the amount of quality opponents that Auburn's going to face is going to help them. It's going to be like, all right, well, we know how to play to teams up to this level. They've played number 2. They've played number 4. They've played number 6, as you said earlier. And they've competed with these. They played number 7 as well at Florida State in the early season. And you look at some of these teams, even like Cincinnati, hanging around that top 30. Nebraska, hanging around a little bit as well. Like, these are quality teams. And so I think that with what this team is looking for, they're not scared of who you're going to put in a regional with Auburn. They're not scared about going to Hoover and needing a couple wins. Like, they're comfortably, and they're not scared of Georgia. They're not scared of anybody else. I know Georgia kind of nerfed by the RPI,
yeah.
which I disagree with. I think Georgia, as you know, as the SEC champions, I think they are a top five team in the country. I think it's UCLA, Georgia Tech, Auburn, Georgia probably at that number 3 or 4, and then kind of take your pick between your North Carolinas and your Florida States and A&M of the world. But I just really think that with the schedule the way it is, that's only going to help Butch Thompson and these Tigers be prepared for any postseason play.
You look at, again, the strength of schedule just in terms of the SEC. Auburn is first, Texas is sixth, Alabama is fourth. You then keep going, Texas A&M at 26th, Florida at 2nd, State at 8th, Ole Miss at 3rd. Then there's Georgia, the 14th-ranked team in terms of RPI, the strength of schedule at 38th. And a lot of that is because of the non-conference strength of schedule. You go and look at Auburn with the 18th, Alabama the 26th, Texas a little high up there at 95th. But you continue on with A&M at 212. Florida at 22nd, State at 144th, Georgia's 238th. And so you talk about the high-quality wins for Auburn in the non-con versus what other teams choose to do. Obviously, a win over Georgia Tech does that. The trip to Arlington does that. And playing just really good in-state opponents in the midweek continues to do that, which goes to show, man, why this Auburn team is so special and built for a postseason run. Another team trying to build a postseason run, the Auburn Tigers on the gridiron with head coach Alex Golish. A quarterback spot has been found. We'll talk about him and what it means for the Auburn Tigers in the future coming up next.
Into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. No Jacob Goins in the studio, making his way out to Enterprise to call some Auburn High School baseball. We'll be able to plug all of that here coming up in the next segment, and then may have a familiar voice joining us on the phone lines to be the Mariano Rivera, to be the Aroldis Chapman, to be the Craig Kimbrell, and just be the closer to kind of recap all of what we've talked about in our number one. We may have two of those closers with Jacob Hillman in there as well, joining us
Jacob
at 3:30. It's Jacob Monday here on the
Jacob,
Monday edition
Jacob
of On the
Monday.
Line with Jacob Hillman and Jacob Goins. But neither of us are Jacob, and neither is the guy that we get to talk about. I tried making that work. It just didn't work. But
it's
Auburn.
It's okay. On to the next rep.
There we go. Yes, next one. Practice. All right, give me the dummy once again. Auburn, on the football side of things, Alex Golish finally gets his guy, Gary Chapman Jr., a 6-foot, 190-pound quarterback out of Brookwood High School, has committed to the Tigers after decommitting from Wake Forest, and there is a whole lot of upside. I know that a lot of people haven't necessarily been overly excited about this commit, but most importantly, Alex Golish has gotten his guy, and at worst, it's another arm in the quarterback room that you should feel more and more confidence growing by the year.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this, the scouting report, watched a little bit of film as we were sitting here kind of doing some prep. According to Andrew Ivins, it's this scrappy dual threat talent. He flashes down the field. He's got a great throwing motion from the little film. Just kind of just puts it out there, and it's on a frozen rope.
Yeah.
You know? And he can run great, mobility. Definitely a guy that's, you know, I wouldn't say run first, but you know, reminds me a lot of like a Justin Fields, where he's stepping up and he's going to beat a defender to the edge, and maybe even not just like a lineman, like a linebacker or a safety, and get to that second or third level every single time. Gets the, you know, again, quick release. But I think what the most important part that Auburn fans need to zero in on about this stuff: beats defenders on the edge on RPO calls and has been proven to be a tough tackle in tight quarters. Does that remind anybody about of anything? Does that, any quarterback that reminds you of, Christian? Because I know someone that reminds me of.
Oh, I mean, every Auburn quarterback of the 2010s, it felt like, of the Nick Marshall type.
Right. And more specifically, Byron Brown.
Sure.
Like, this is a guy, like you said it over the break, that was great, is that this is a system guy.
Yeah.
He knows what to do in these kind of, okay, I need to read this linebacker, or read this edge. If he's going to collapse, I can get it out to my guy. Or if he's going to stay, I'm going to be able to hand it off. And that just is going to be what's going to be the biggest benefit to what Alex Golish is looking at. It's not only a guy, because you look at like Gus Malzahn's offenses, where it's like, you know, you had guys that were great, like Stidham and Bo Nix, but it worked better when you had like a Nick Marshall, a guy that was mobile, a guy that could be able to be just as good of a threat with his legs as is his arm. And that's what this guy reminds me of, and that's what Byron Brown reminds me of, where you're not getting a quarterback just because of the star. You're getting it to fit your scheme.
Looking at some of these stats right now, again, the junior, Gary Chapman Jr., commits to the Auburn Tigers after flipping from Wake Forest, and we have some more positive news on that side of things here in just a few moments. But a unanimous three-star, I would imagine he will work his way up into a four-star by the time he graduates high school. But looking at some of the junior film reminds me, you mentioned a couple of names, and one that didn't necessarily go to Auburn, but one that worked in that Gus Malzahn type of offense after possibly going to Auburn, went to Florida State, and that's Nick Castellanos.
Oh, yeah.
From Boston College, and then again from Florida State. The very slippery, the very quick, whippy arm, has all of the arm talent in the world and can make something out of nothing. And by no means is that something that you want to rely on, but how nice is it when you have somebody that feels comfortable in a broken play, or if the coverage doesn't work out, or if the line of scrimmage doesn't work out, the ability to make a couple of guys miss, keep your head downfield, and take off and run when needed. This is something that Gary Chapman is able to do. Again, the three-star cornerback from Brookwood High School. I'm going to test your youth.
All right.
Is there anything in specific that comes to your mind when you think of Brookwood?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like there's some – I got to dig here. It's got to be like some kind of like a musical artist is what I'm thinking of. It's like a rap – like Atlanta area rapper says he's from
not
Brookwood.
Quite, but music, yes.
Music, yes. You're going to have to
say. Oh, no.
No, you got to help me here. Help me here.
This is – holy cow.
You're going to say this, and I'm going to realize it's from Snellville.
Holy throwback. Do you remember the Brookwood Grayson rivalry and the music, the songs that the high schoolers
made?
Oh,
the diss tracks. Yes, I know.
Brookwood,
the diss tracks.
Where are you at? And then the Graysons.
Yes, okay.
Return.
You're right, because I remember I was in. You ready to feel old? I was in like middle school.
Oh yeah.
And so I remember my high school tried to like jump on that and make like a song.
Oh, everybody did. Yeah.
Right. You seem like, and I don't mean this as an insult, this is just kind of the truth. You seem like the person that would organize that for your high school. Like I could see, I could be like, yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah, I'm the ghost writer that.
No, you're
the
like
lyrics.
you're the on screen rapper.
Oh gosh, no, I was not in fact the Buford on screen rapper. But no, that's funny. After clicking,
I forget that. I know that like the schools in Tennessee do it. Baylor and McCallie, I want to say in Chattanooga. There's like they do that too. Like they still do that now. But yeah, I forget that it was Brookwood and Grayson. Yes.
That's incredible.
I
Brookwood, where you at? Brookwood, where you at? You can't even see me. Tell me, are you even on the map, bro? I used to. Holy cow! used to know all of
we
that.
We are going. Let's just put it on a hotkey and just play.
Honestly, it might need to be. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, I hope that you are smiling right now. Again, Gary Chapman Jr., three-star quarterback from Brookwood High School, commits to the Auburn Tigers. And you mentioned it best, talking about a system fit. And again, that's especially what you want to see with three stars. And again, before your junior year, you would imagine working into one of those four stars. But crazy upside potential. You mentioned his ability to read RPOs and to beat one-on-one defenders, especially when getting to the outside. And when watching the clips as well, he's not somebody that's, okay, there's pressure, let me take off and run to my right. Or there's pressure, let me try and take off to my left, again, as the right-handed quarterback. Very happily able to pick and choose his spots. Will run up the middle as well. It is not the freshman Auburn Bo Nix of every single time you get rushed rolling out to your right, which I think brings a little bit of music back. Or sorry, I was talking about music. I did get a text talking about. I just smiled. Brings back memories. Yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
It was from 14 years ago. The original ones. I just looked.
Is that what it was? Holy
14
cow!
14 years ago. I mean, maybe I remembered it a little later because I was 9 at the time.
That's wild. About, 14 years ago was the original.
That is what YouTube is telling me right now. Brookwood, where are you at? And Grayson stepped your game up.
Holy cow. The fact that I dug deep in the brain for that. But the fact that you have somebody like this that fits your system not only brings you excitement for the future, I think that it also brings a whole lot of excitement for what the quarterback room already has. That meaning Tristan Tia. Byron Brown is going to be not by any means a one-year rental in terms of moving up with the coaching staff, but he's only going to be here for 1 year. And the fact that Tristan Tia's name has already continued to grow in terms of popularity just because of how he looked in the spring and how he looked in the 8-day game, going 15 of 20, throwing a touchdown, running for one as well. I think there's a lot of confidence in what he brings to this Alex Golich system, which makes it to where, okay, maybe this is solidifying the future plans for Golich and this Auburn staff of not going after the five-star plus types of guys. It's more so, we trust what we have in the room. We're going to go get somebody that can challenge Tia for a spot next year or the year after that, but make it to where, man, you feel like any guy that can step up, you feel confident within that room. But I think Tristan Tia can be a major part of this plan.
I definitely agree. I'm really high on Tia. Had a great spring game, good tape, and I think that he is definitely the heir apparent to Byron Brown. I know, you know, your sky is falling. Auburn fans on Twitter are going to tell you, well, Byron Brown is actually not good, and Tristan Tia will be the starter next year. And I think I did that for all of 5 minutes, and I was like, wait a minute. I think that definitely instills confidence in him. It's like, we have a system guy just in case, but it's not like we're bringing in a four or a five star where the expectation is like, it's like a DJ Lagway that you're going to play within the first year, especially in the portal era. But I think that just it shows to how what the roster construction is looking like for Alex Golich.
I think it's a great problem to have. And again, if the biggest complaint is that Auburn gets a three-star quarterback, feels like a relatively good complaint to have. Auburn now up to 6 players committed in the 2027 class. But more importantly, it's the 5th to commit since April 18th. And we talked a lot about this as soon as you started to see some of the offensive names. And Mycen Johnson Cook, again, the 4-star running back from East Illinois, again, the 93-rated player, the 74th nationally overall player in the 4th-rated position, a 4th-rated running back in his group, I think brings a whole lot of excitement. And now you've had a couple of offensive linemen, you've had a tackle as well, and now a quarterback to where the offensive recruiting side of things is starting to pan out the way that you would hope. And I think that is a very, very key thing to highlight, because the fact that Auburn is going after guys that they feel like fits their system, but also some of the biggest names, again, with Mycen Johnson Cook, we talked about, now that you have that running back, you can see the pieces start to come around a guy like that. Auburn now 38th. In the 2027 football commit class, and according to 24/7 Sports. But I don't think that by any means is that something to panic, because it's what we've talked about all season long. Golich is recruiting up a mountain right now. It's not even just an uphill battle, but in terms of a year one head coach where it makes recruiting a little bit more difficult, but then it's also year one at a program that hasn't had success as of late. I mean, Auburn is obviously a national historic program in terms of all of college football, but in today's day and age, it's not the legacy that you look at anymore. It's more so, how much can you play me? How much can you pay me? But when you get to the top of the line, the money looks the same regardless. You choose that off of playing time. You choose that off of success, and you choose that off of the accomplishments recently. Alex Golish has those, but not now at the school that he's at in Auburn with year one. And so wins will be the most important thing to continue to look at, and that is going to be arguably the biggest recruiting factor for this team in year one.
Yeah, I think people need to relax a little bit. Like, you look at what's like, well, you know, Hugh Freeze was able to recruit, you know, five stars from all over the country. And did what? Those teams are now bolstering up the rosters of Texas and Georgia and Alabama because all those guys were left. I'd rather have Alex Golish bring in guys that are going to stay here and produce and play well, and they are lower-rated stars, which probably means you get them cheaper a little bit in terms of NIL.
Definitely, yeah.
But, you know,
I mean, that's what you're starting to see. Sorry to cut you off, but that's exactly what you're starting to see, especially at that quarterback position of we'll go after a top product every second or every third year, and then afterwards it's more so filling in the cracks with guys that you think fit the system, and if at worst Gary Chapman Jr. is that guy, it's a good problem to have.
Absolutely. I will say, though, because this is a point that I like to harp on, at least when I talk with my buddies about ball, is in the in-state recruiting, right? You look at what Auburn's recruits. This is just off of 247. You know, you have Mycen Cook Johnson from East St. Louis in Illinois. You have, you know, guys, three recruits from Georgia, and then you have Brylon Odur from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Only one recruit right now from the state of Alabama. It is one of your top two with Donovan Moore out of Bessemer City, and that's a solid program, and he's going to be a good recruit on the D-line. But I really would like to see Golish. I get the scheme fit and finding the right guys, and I agree with everything I just said. But I do think you do need to, if you're going to spend money and you're going to try and get top guys, you do need to look at doing that in-state. I think that in-state recruiting out of high school is the most important way to build a football program. And if you disagree with me, go look at Georgia. They have one of the most talent-ridden states in the country, and they get almost any big recruit that they want out of the state of Georgia. And if Auburn can do that, I know they have to compete with Alabama. That's a hard thing to do sometimes when it comes to recruiting in places like Birmingham. But if they could, I think that would help Golish a long way. But I think that what he's doing right now is perfectly fine.
He talked all about it in day one of his press conference and has continued to talk about it. The 250-mile radius is what Auburn wants to dominate, and getting wins is going to be, again, the biggest driving motivator, the biggest driving factor for a lot of this. Don't be surprised if Auburn makes a lot of noise late, whether that's hopefully good or bad news as well. I mean, whether that's flips, whether that's just late commits from some of the top guys in the state, which you're mentioning, which are waiting it out to see what Alex Golish and what this Auburn team is able to do in year one. But how nice is it of Auburn being able to go back and point to that Columbus area, go back and point to Savannah, point to now Atlanta as well as, man, just a recruiting hub. We both know, again, that area and the talent that is on the football field. And Auburn's been able to kind of pick and choose the guys that they want in those areas. Man, if you can go and you can continue to build, even if it's not just a true pipeline like Auburn's been able to do with a couple of places in Maryland, I mean, you feel like there's a whole lot of excitement in what Alex Golish, what this recruiting staff is able to do. Auburn gets the three-star quarterback, Gary Chapman Jr., and not only do they get him, yes, words are just words, but after the commitment, Chapman was interviewed with Rivals.com and said, with this commitment, I'm shutting it down. I'm not visiting anywhere else. I am all Auburn. And so if that's the words that you need to stick to become a big-time fan of Gary Chapman Jr., man, we see the talent. We see the athleticism that is there and goes to show why Auburn went with that commitment or went with the offer and went so hard after Chapman Jr. to try and get that commitment. We'll take a break. Come back, wrap up hour number one with some of our high school updates. Auburn High softball, Auburn High baseball, Lee Scott Academy as well. I guess I should say the postseason formats have been fit because Auburn High School technically is not even just around behind Lee Scott Academy right now. After today, after tomorrow, they might be. We'll tell you all about that, tell you what you need to know, and work our way into hour number two right after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We appreciate everybody for being here with us, making us a part of your Monday afternoon. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. here with you in the studio. And we talked a little bit of Auburn baseball. We talked a little Auburn football. And now time for Auburn High softball, baseball, some Lee Scott Academy updates in there as well. Auburn High softball with a very dramatic postseason so far. We'll be able to tell you a little bit more about it to get our number two started. But Auburn High softball defeated Baker 2-0 in the regional tournament, which is arguably the biggest win that you have to be able to get. That way you're not having to completely work your way up from the loser's bracket. Auburn High School softball playing right now with Jack Hudden over on 96.3 W Lee, trying to get some score updates right now is Trip, with Auburn High and Central doing battle over in Montgomery. It was a 1:45 start, and so again, we'll get you updates as soon as we have any of those. We have Auburn High School baseball, which we'll be able to talk with Jacob here in just a few moments. I guess there's our bad teaser for Jacob joining us on the phone lines. If nobody picked up on that, then that's pretty bad. But Auburn High baseball taking on Enterprise tonight at Troy, 5 o'clock and 7:30 in round two of the AHSAA 7A state playoffs. Do we have an official word?
Central is moving on. They won.
Oh, it's over already.
It just ended. Like literally as we were listening to it. So Auburn will play Alma Bryant tomorrow morning to see who moves on to the next round of the tournament.
Well, there we go. Okay. Well, there's the update that I guess we weren't expecting to have already yet so far. But again, Auburn High baseball taking on Enterprise. This was supposed to be a Friday-Saturday series. They talked about Thursday and Friday, and now it is Monday and, if needed, on Tuesday. And so we'll be able to plug a little bit more of that over on, again, 96.3 W Lee. Four games for Auburn High School over on the home of the Tigers, rather, 96.3 W Lee, 963WLEE.com, that Radio Alabama app as well. And for my side of things, with Lee Scott Academy making our way to the Final Four, and it runs through Phenix City. It runs through the home of the Glenwood Gators. Lee Scott Academy takes on the Gators Wednesday afternoon. First pitch is scheduled for 4:30. And then right after that, the if game would be Thursday afternoon. But a trip for a blue map on the line. And my goodness, there's a whole lot of excitement going on between those two men. Many talk about, and in the 3A level, those two teams being two of the three, maybe two of the four best teams in the state in terms of 3A baseball. And unfortunate that these two teams are very, very familiar with one another. But the familiar foes go at it Wednesday afternoon to try and make their trip to Oxford for a state championship. And again, shout out to on the way out of here, Lee Scott Academy girls soccer yet again, their second straight AHSAA state championship, the 1A through 3A. And so really excited on that side of things as well.
Yeah, also I think Auburn High, at least boys soccer, won state championships. Yeah, as well. I'm checking on the girls, they did as well. So
man,
hey, Auburn University soccer, Auburn soccer town,
soccer town.
And there's gonna be more soccer with World Cup.
There we go.
Boom.
Just a big-time teaser for the road to 26. But, again, a major congratulations and happy graduation to a lot of those schools, or a lot of the kids as well. That wraps up hour number one. Special guest joining us on the phone lines to start hour number two.
On ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two. here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin, man. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And what an hour number one it was. We talked a whole lot of Auburn University baseball because is there a hotter thing on the planet right now? I'm not sure that you could say yes. Also, some football news in there as well. And my goodness, what an hour number one that it was. We hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Fantastic hour number one in there as well. If you missed any of it, make sure to go back and check it out as you can every single day after the show over on our podcast center on ESPNAU.com, wherever you get your podcasts as well.
Yeah, and in hour number two, we're going to be talking to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, kind of talking about, as we talked about all day today, this baseball team that is just looking absolutely incredible. We'll also get to talk a little bit because Jacob's gone. We'll be able to talk about the Atlanta Braves.
More baseball, the best baseball there is.
The best baseball, the best team in baseball, and as well as some other cool stuff. But first, we've got a guest.
We do have a guest.
On the phone lines?
Is that where we go to start hour number two?
I think we do go to start hour number two at the phone lines.
Is it a man that we've heard the voice of for quite some time?
I would classify this guy as a guy that tells it like it is and holds nothing back.
Let's get to the phone lines. We got our guy, Jacob Goins, here with us, joining us to start hour number two to give a little insight and be kind of a closer for hour number one. Jacob. Have you made your way down to Troy yet? I know that you're happy that it's a little bit of a shorter drive by, I guess, a little bit, but you should be rolling up here just a few minutes, right?
Yeah. Actually, about to roll into to Troy, and my second time in Troy in the last three or four days, and so not ideal by any means, but yeah, my goodness, man, it has been so crazy the last couple of days and the driving, and I'm tearing up I-85 several times. So yeah, about to roll in and got a couple of big games on deck today.
Well, we talked all about Auburn High School softball's win over Baker, and we'll also talk about the game going on here in just a few minutes. Should be wrapping up here in just a few moments as well, but your overall assessment on the entire situation on the Auburn softball side of things before we put a bow on Auburn High baseball, where Auburn High School softball thought their season was coming to an end, and then all of a sudden you find out about a base running situation that kind of put Auburn back into the postseason?
It was an ineligible player that Smith Station softball put in as a pinch runner in the elimination game of the area tournament last week. One of the crazier situations I have seen in quite some time. So area tournament for softball, right? Regional tournament right now the same way and things like that. Double elimination. And so Auburn High was 1-1. They had to take on Smith Station again in the area tournament. Winner moves on, loser goes home for the year. And Smith Station came in and beat Auburn High. Just straight up beat them in seven innings. And a couple of days later, come to find out, Smith Station had subbed in an ineligible player because there's a game limit if you play JV and varsity. And so somebody found out, I don't really know who or how or why, but found out that a girl was subbed in who was over her game limit. Smith Station then self-reported themselves to the AHSAA. Wow. They forfeited their win. They forfeited their spot in the regional tournament, and Auburn High got to go to the regional after losing in the area tournament, and they've already taken care of business once today, and hopefully they can try to do so again right now against Central.
Yeah, taking on the Red Devils of Central right now. We'll continue to give updates as that goes along. Your color commentator, Jack Hutton, with you on the Auburn High Sports Network. I know it was a bit of a jam to make sure that you can get all four games of Auburn High School softball and baseball on the air this afternoon. Him and Montgomery, you making your way down to Enterprise, or I guess to Troy, to take on Enterprise. And so, although he is rather upset he can't be making the drive with you again, maybe he's not so upset that he can't be making the drive with you, but a very good news in terms of Auburn High School softball. But man, plug everything that you have before we dive into a little bit of Auburn High School or Auburn University baseball, that is, and some football. I know you wanted to be able to dive into a lot of what we talked about in hour number one, but set the scene for everybody in round two, Auburn High versus Enterprise.
Yeah, there's not a ton of music being played today on 96.3 WLE, but that's okay. We're filling the airwaves with Auburn High Diamond Sports. And so, softball will be wrapping up here in the next, 30, 40 minutes, something like that. And then we'll be taking over baseball-wise. I'll be taking over around 4:45, 4:50, be going on the air for Auburn High Baseball, second round of the playoffs. Everybody else is already done. Hewitt Trustful will be hosting Thompson in the semifinals, and Central Phoenix City is awaiting the result of this series today. So Auburn High, doubleheader today against Enterprise. First pitch of game one at 5 o'clock. Game two's at 7:30. If either team sweeps, then it's over. If we split, then I get to drive back from Troy tonight, back to Auburn, get up and drive all the way back down to Enterprise tomorrow for game three. And so I'm not saying I'm hoping for a sweep either way, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But, yeah, 5 o'clock tonight, 96.3 W League game one, and then 7:30 is game two on the Auburn High Sports Network. Myself on the broadcast for the second round of the 7A baseball playoff.
And I know you're looking forward to that. Again, as we have Jacob Goins here with us, usually in the studio, making his way down to Enterprise, but wanted to hop on the phone lines with us for a few minutes. I know that you are excited. Again, you get to call a couple of games up at Troy, and yeah, not saying for you're hoping for a sweep either way, but wouldn't necessarily complain. And then if you are fortunate enough to move to the second round, does 7A follow the same travel guide? Or I guess it wouldn't matter, actually, because you beat Central in the regular season, right?
Yeah, it's an area matchup. So since Auburn High is the area champion out of Area 4, if the Tigers win this series, we would get to host Central Phoenix City at SEMO Field in the 7A Final Four. Winner moves on to the state championship. So I know you are in a similar boat taking on your big rival. Unfortunately, yeah. Lee Scott's got to travel over to the Swamp. That place is not kind to Lee Scott over the years. But, yeah, if Auburn High can win today, Phoenix City comes to us, baby. So we're hoping for that.
Yeah, definitely, Jacob. We'll have all of that on our station of networks. Make sure to tune into that later. But I wanted to shift gears a little bit, move up to Auburn University. And my first question, talking about, you have Ethan Bingaman winning his third SEC Freshman of the Week honors. It feels like a different Tiger wins this every week. This is such a good young team. What does that speak to in Butch Thompson's organization?
Well, I heard somebody say it on, I think it was one of the TV broadcasts over the weekend, where they were talking about Auburn is such a unique roster where they're so young, but yet they're so experienced, right? You look at guys like Chris Rembert and Bub Terrell and Chase Fralick, and it's like, okay, those guys aren't that old, but they've been around because they played so early, and there's so much trust in the Auburn baseball system, right, where – I mean, look at the young guys playing right now. Look at the freshmen, like both the McCrane brothers. And you look at guys like that, Kate Ballou, who comes in periodically. I mean, you're looking at a lot of younger players who basically get thrown into the fire immediately. But it's so awesome because you have them for several years, you hope, unless there's obviously a draft and things like that. But, yeah, this team is special, man. And Ethan Bingaman has continued to come up with big swings. Bub Terrell had a couple of big swings this week. And, of course, Chase Fralick with probably the biggest swing of the series, one of the biggest swings of the year, right, on that game two, top of the ninth inning, solo shot to win. And so, yeah, this roster is something special, man. And the pitching continues to deliver most of the time. And, man, how special is it, guys, to win a series on the road in the SEC where your ace, Jake Marciano, lost and didn't have his best stuff and was pulled early? I mean, it just shows what this team has. It shows how good they are. And, yeah, you win six series in a row, man, you're doing something right.
The longest streak in one season since 1985. Auburn won five, I believe it was to end 2010 and their first in 2011, but the first in one year since 1985, which continues to speak on what Coach Butch Thompson and what this staff is continuing to do, and then the buy-in for all the players as well. We mentioned the plethora of SEC Freshman of the Week honors, just SEC Pitcher, SEC Player of the Week. It continues to be lettered down with the Auburn University logo. And man, how awesome is it that we've talked so much about this team, even going back into the preseason, about, man, could 14 wins host a regional? 15 wins should get you a regional. Auburn's sitting at 16 wins. You still have one more series to go, and you're going to play at least four more SEC games before the true postseason gets started, that being the three at home against Georgia and the one in Hoover. I mean, this is a team that can get to 18, 19, 20 wins in Southeastern Conference play. And when you look at some of the numbers, I mean, it's absolutely incredible not only to get to that feat, but to do it in the way that Auburn's done it with the hardest schedule in the entire freaking country.
Well, I mean, I want to go back and kind of take a step back here for a moment and remind a lot of Auburn fans, yes, but a lot of college baseball fans when Auburn lost the series against Texas after winning the opener and then getting swept by Alabama. And it was like, uh-oh, is Auburn okay? Is Auburn in trouble? Man, maybe they can get to 500 in the SEC, which, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, would be 15-15. And it's like, here we are. We're already ahead of schedule with a whole series to go, and like you mentioned, Hoover as well. And so it just goes to show, as we talk so much, baseball is just so different, right? And it's different and it's unique, but also it's just a sport where a team that is playing its, quote, best baseball in the first month of the season typically doesn't go on to do very well.
Right.
The goal is to get better as the season goes on. I don't care if it's football, basketball, baseball, it doesn't matter. Like, the goal is to get better as the year goes on. And my goodness, has Auburn done that and then some? And yeah, there was some concern, right, when you lose a game to Nebraska or you lose in a midweek or you get swept on the road against Alabama. Like, yeah, it's natural to be like, I don't know, something doesn't smell right here. But Auburn figured it out, and they've been the best team in college baseball since, I think, especially with the schedule and things like that. I know UCLA's on a stupid tear, but I mean, I compare UCLA baseball right now, guys, to Gonzaga basketball. If you don't play anybody, oh, no. You're going to win all your games. I mean, that's pretty much how it goes down. And I mean, they'll play a ranked team every now and then, but not very often. So yeah, this Auburn team is special, man. What a cool opportunity tomorrow to go play a conference champion in Jack State on the road and then come back and play a conference champion in Georgia inside of Plainsman Park.
Yeah, how wild is it, Jacob, to think that you go on the road to take on just a in-state rival, yet it's something that can boost your resume. It can boost your RPI. It's not going to boost your strength of schedule because Auburn is sitting in the top two and they're not sitting at number two. But something that can continue to boost your resume, a team that is most likely going to be a two seed, but man, having conversations, trying to fight and get to a regional spot, that's absolutely crazy to think about. And wanted to dive back into it. Baseball, one more question before we hit on football. I know your thoughts on that as well, but to talk about Auburn's essentially four-headed monster on the mound, and that's not including anybody that you go to as the bridge, as your long reliever. I guess Jackson Sanders has kind of worked into that role, but out of all of the arms in the bullpen, man, you have those four that you can go to at any given time. And we talked about this yesterday, just looking at some of the Game 3 scores. Florida wins 9-6. Texas wins 13-6. Alabama wins 7-6. Oklahoma wins 15-10 in one of the uglier baseball games that I have ever sat down and watched. And then you go back and you look at Auburn and what they continue to do, and man, it gives you so much confidence for a deep, deep postseason run just because of how good those guys are on the mound.
Well, it remind me of what the streak is, guys. Is it five rubber games in a row that Auburn has now won? Is that something like that?
I guess it's five technically, yes, because of the Game 3 loss. But yes, five straight rubber matches have been won by the Tigers when it's come down to that Sunday or that Game 3 needed win.
Well, it shows two things. One, it shows what we already know is that Auburn has more in the pitching rotation than most teams, right? Auburn has a Game 3 guy. Auburn has several long relievers. Auburn has really two or three closers that you can go to. And it also shows that most other SEC teams just don't. I mean, it's not normal. Even in the SEC, it's not normal to have three legitimate starters who can go any day, any time, right? Christian, you and I have described it as line them up against the wall, close your eyes and point. And you tell any of those guys, hey, we need you today. They go out and they deliver 9 times out of 10. That's such a luxury that people, this isn't professional baseball, guys. Like, this isn't where it's like, okay, we got our five dudes. And even in that scenario, they're not all top of the line.
Right.
But Auburn has proven that between Marciano, Alvarez, Petrovic, Sanders. Then you get into the bullpen of Cormier and Jet Johnston when he's on, and you know, things like DeJong, and then you have Hetzler in there as well. You just have such a luxury in your pitching rotation. That'll carry you. I mean, I can carry you all the way through Omaha, guys. And then it shows that Auburn's offense, more times than not in a rubber match, has taken advantage of the SEC opponents that don't have a shutdown guy on that Saturday or Sunday game three. So, yeah, Auburn has put themselves in such a good position, and it's going to be hard to beat this team in a three-game set the rest of the way.
And we're with Jacob Goins here on ESPN 106.7. And switching gears quickly to the gridiron, Gary Chapman from the Peach State at Brookwood High School, a quarterback, commits to the Tigers. The offensive recruits starting to file in a little bit, Jacob. What do you think is the driving factor of this, and what are some other, you know, potential things we could be looking for this summer for recruiting-wise for Alex Golish?
Yeah, it's exciting that that Coach Golish and Auburn finally landed that quarterback commit, right? It seems like they've been in. If there's a high school quarterback that's being recruited by somebody, Auburn has been in with them. I mean, it's insane to see how many different quarterbacks that Auburn has had their logo attached to a graphic somewhere. But what's eluded Auburn is the big commit, right? And I know that some people aren't overly excited about this one in particular. I think he has a chance to really grow and get better in his senior season. I think he will climb the rankings and maybe gain an extra star on his resume by the time it's all said and done. But I trust Alex Golish, at least for now, until we see more in recruiting and, of course, watch him coach some games as well. But if this is the guy that they like and they think that he will fit, then, yeah, let's roll with it and see what happens. But, man, how could you not be excited as an offensive guy being recruited by Alex Golish, who just walked away from a top-10 offense, right, or is coming off of a top-10 offense at South Florida? And so if you're a quarterback, you look at Byron Brown. If you're a running back or a receiver, well, look at what they had last year at South Florida, how many of those guys came to Auburn and trusted Coach Golish and this staff. And so, if nothing else, you do have a proof of concept, and you also have a level of trust with some of the guys who followed from South Florida to Auburn. But I do think it will not get to the level that Auburn fans want it to be until there is a proof of concept at Auburn, because look, you can light it up all you want in South Florida in a G5 conference. You got to find a way to do it in the SEC. And if you do that and you just tear it up year one with Byron Brown and that running back room and some really talented receivers, yeah, you're going to get a ton of commits. You're going to get some flips. You're going to get guys that nobody even thought Auburn had a chance to get. But if you go out and drop an egg and you talk a big game and can't figure it out, then you're going to be in trouble. And look, Hugh Freeze was able to recruit a bunch of good offensive players because of what he did in his past. He clearly couldn't do it at Auburn, so Coach Golish cannot make that same mistake. But in terms of this recruit and this commitment, I'm excited for it. If nothing else, you get another quarterback in the room starting next year, and you just start to build from there.
Auburn up to 38th nationally, and I think you said it best. We hit on it, now we're number one as well. Do not panic. The best thing for recruiting is going to be simply winning football games, because right now Golish is battling a little bit of an uphill battle, if you will, just because of year one at a program that hasn't really had a whole lot of that recent success, but at worst a very good problem to have, that Alex Golish able to get that quarterback spot at least locked down for now, and Gary Chapman Jr., the 6-foot 190-pound quarterback out of Brookwood High School, says that he is officially shut down in terms of his recruitment. So a lot of excitement on that side of things. Jacob Goins here with us on the phone lines, usually in studio, but taking the time to join us on his way down to Troy, Auburn High, and Enterprise. My friend, plug everything you got one more time. We hope that you'll be back in studio, but only one way to find out, and that's to tune in over on 96.3 W. Lee.
Yep, that's right. 5 o'clock, first pitch, Auburn High and Enterprise, round two of the 7A baseball playoffs. I'll have it for you. Game one at 5 o'clock, game two at 7:30. It's a best of three series, two games tonight. If there's a sweep one way or the other, then no game tomorrow. But if we split, we got to go all the way back down to Enterprise tomorrow night. But we'll tell you all about it. 963WLEE.com and the Radio Alabama app. Jack Hutton calling softball as we speak. He will hand it off to me to call baseball at 5 o'clock first pitch. Auburn and Enterprise 7A playoffs for the second round. Winner gets the Central Red Devils in the semifinals.
Brother man, best of luck. We wish you the best of luck. Be safe on the way back, and hopefully it's only one trip on the way back. But again, we appreciate your time for joining us. I know you're looking forward to get back in here talking a little baseball, hopefully tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for holding it down, guys. Really appreciate it. Yeah, hopefully in studio tomorrow, but if not, 100% in studio on Wednesday.
We'll take a break, come back, and talk a little bit more baseball, but Major League Baseball, as the Braves, as Tripp is quoting it himself, World Series, winning it 4-0, and the greatest team to ever step onto a baseball field. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we return here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate Jacob for taking a little bit of time to walk us through everything that's, man, been going on in his world, in the world of Auburn High School athletics with softball, and the crazy stories that he's talking about in terms of losing the area tournament but still able to advance to regionals. And you mentioned it, or actually right before we got on the air with him, of the Auburn Central game going final. And so Auburn will take on Alma Bryant tomorrow morning. Auburn High Baseball, as he mentioned, you can catch them this afternoon. Coming up here in about an hour and a half or so over on 963WLEE.com and that Radio Alabama app. We mentioned at Lee Scott Academy taking on Glenwood Wednesday afternoon. We'll be able to tell you a little bit more about that tomorrow and as the days go on. But Tripp, you mentioned something that you felt rather interested in and rather passionate about here this afternoon, about it is in the terms of baseball, but not necessarily in a sport that we've talked about here today.
The Atlanta Braves are the best team in baseball. And I don't really, like, again, and I literally titled this segment On the Rundown, the Atlanta Braves, the best team in baseball, and I don't care who knows, because it's a fact. Looking at the standings in the MLB right now, like, Atlanta is far and away the best team. And you look at with what they just did in L.A., which I think is so much more impressive. It's so hard to win, A, on the road, B, across, you know, on the West Coast, being an Atlanta team, and C, in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. Not the Angels, the Dodgers. The Braves, looking at the NL East, they are 9 games above second place. That is above the Phillies, the Marlins, and the Nationals. All of those teams have losing records. The Braves, 28-13. And that is 3 games above the NL West leading Padres, and 3 games above, and that just about 1 game above the Cubs. And I just think that looking at this team, the pitching is looking fantastic. Spencer Strider coming back and throwing an absolute
gem. Yeah, what a response by him.
Looking at Chris Sale, who year in and year out has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. You know, looking at who he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. It's only a matter of is he going to wear a Braves hat, a White Sox hat, or a Red Sox hat.
Yeah,
Elder looking decent, and then the hitters. Yeah, you look at Austin Riley. He's been a little bit of a slump recently. That's fine. Drake Baldwin, MVP caliber hitter. Acuna will find form eventually. You look at Matt Olson having a fantastic series. He always seems to do against those Dodgers and that Freddie Freeman over at first base, who we love, but I think Matt Olson takes it a little personally. And I just, it's hard for me not to look at where you're winning against the toughest teams in baseball, only lost one series all year. We're almost halfway done with May. The Atlanta Braves are going to be the top. If they could stay healthy, they're going to be a top contender in the NL. Probably a 1, if not maybe a 2 seed. And they are going to be coming off 60 wins last year, and everyone was saying the Braves dynasty is done. Brian Snicker's washed. And even I said it, Walt Weiss, maybe not the best hire. He's looking pretty good.
And the fact that they're doing that, you mentioned it with Austin Riley not playing the way that you expect him to play and doing this without Ronald Acuna. The fact that half a month ago, the Phillies were 9.5 games back. They were like 8-2 in their last 10, and they're still 9 games back. We'll talk with Jacob Hillman, get his thoughts on maybe the Braves. Auburn sports in there as well. He joins us coming up next.
halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line, which means we get to welcome a special guest here joining us every single Monday at 3:30. It's Jay Squared, or Jacob Squared, here this afternoon. Christian Griffin, Tripp Upton in the studio. We just got done talking with Jacob Goins on the road, taking on Enterprise, or the Auburn High Tigers, over on 96.3 W League, coming up here in just over an hour or so. But we welcome Mr. Hillman to the phone lines and hope all is well in your world as we begin the home stretch, no pun intended, of all the Auburn sports.
Oh, you're exactly right, and everything's going well. Looking forward to closing out the home regular season schedule here this week for Auburn Athletics. Obviously, a lot of postseason action to get to as well, but looking forward to a big baseball series this upcoming weekend.
My goodness, you talk about it, and why not start right there? We mentioned it to start the show. I don't know if there's anything hotter in the world of college sports right now than the Auburn Tigers and Butch Thompson's squad, and the fact that they're able to do what they're doing away from home, man, my goodness, continues to tell the tape of the strength of schedule, of the RPI. Auburn wins its sixth straight SEC conference weekend, and it being the most recent since 1985 when the Tigers were able to do that in one series. Your thoughts on Auburn going to Stark Vegas, taking 2 of 3, and the way that they were able to do it?
Just a really, really impressive weekend and week overall. Obviously, it starts with the midweek at UAB, and it's in the midst of this long, long road stretch, which isn't done yet. Tomorrow night, the Tigers visit a top 25 Jacksonville State squad that would be an at-large team in the NCAA tournament if the season ended today. But after that UAB game, Coach Thompson wasn't pleased with necessarily the effort towards the end of that game. Yeah. That Auburn should have run-rolled UAB last Tuesday night at Regents Field, but the Blazers were able to grab a couple of runs late to keep themselves in that game and take it to the finish line. And it might have actually translated a little bit to that Thursday night game at Mississippi State, where the Bulldogs come out in the first inning and hit a grand slam in that inning, and really Auburn never recovered from there, obviously losing 10-3. But then Friday and Saturday, this team just looked different and looked like the national championship contenders that we've seen throughout this year. The team that won the series at Texas A&M, won the series at Florida, beat Arkansas and Kentucky, and that's what we've seen throughout this year when this team is at its best. And it continued, especially into that Saturday game, run-ruling the Bulldogs. And one of the toughest places to play in the nation, if not the toughest. It was just really an impressive weekend from that standpoint to bounce back and do it after losing game one.
Duty Noble Fields, just about every single year atop the SEC and atop the country in terms of college baseball attendance. And so the fact of Auburn being able to do what they did on the road, just again, speaks to the success. And you mentioned the Thursday game where Auburn loses 10-3 and may have been a little bit of a carryover from the end of the UAB game, and something that we may have talked a little bit about, but wanted your thoughts on it, I guess, for the first time or again, in terms of what we have claimed indirectly on the show when talking about this Auburn team of, man, one night your guy on the mound may be better than ours, or one night your 1-5 may be better than our 1-5 or 1-9 or whatever the case may be, but man, we're going to go and challenge you for 3 games and prove to us that we are the better team in two of these three games. It's what Auburn's been able to continue to do. Your thoughts on just that overall mindset for Butch Thompson and the squad?
Yeah, it's probably true where some nights it's just you're not going to have your 100% stuff on the mound, or the lineup might go a little cold. But because this team is just so deep, both in the pitching rotation, in the bullpen, and in the starting lineup, it's not going to be consistent. You'll bounce back the next day or the next night, and that's what Auburn has done. Obviously, giving up 5 runs in the first inning, Jake Marciano, that was one of his worst outings of this season. But then he gets backed up by Andreas Alvarez, Jackson Sanders, Alex Petrovic the rest of the weekend to have a winning series and do that. Yeah. And the offense, gets backed up by guys like Chris Rember and Inkston Bingaman, who won his SEC Freshman of the Week this week. And I think he's a strong contender for SEC Freshman of the Year at this point. So, yeah, maybe one night it's a little off. And when you're facing the elite of the elite, you mentioned top attendance in the nation at Duty Noble Field. And Andy on the broadcast this week was talking about something that the legend Ron Polk was talking about with them before one of the games this weekend, and how the top 25 attendance records in college baseball are all owned by Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. That's how invested into college baseball that program is. And Auburn to go in there and win its first series at that ballpark since 2017 is a huge deal, especially as it trends towards a top eight national seed in the NCAA tournament, where it hopes to host a second straight Super Regional.
We're talking with Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Jacob, wanted to look a little bit ahead to tomorrow, heading up the road to Jacksonville to take on the Gamecocks of Jacksonville State. You get run ruled by this team at home, a very interesting style of play with the small ball, kind of get a man on, get a man over, get a man in. And I'm just wondering, what's kind of the mood in the clubhouse, and what are they talking about and trying to get prepared for this second game against Jacksonville State?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different here in this game because obviously things have shaken up since then with the pitching rotation. You're going to have Griffin Graves going, and the offense is a little bit more consistent than it was at that point in the season. This team's a lot more confident than it was at that point. I think they were still trying to find their footing from the skid. The last two games of the Texas series, the sweep at Alabama, that still carried over a little bit. It was a week after the Arkansas series win, which helped Auburn get back on track, but they weren't quite to where they want to be. And maybe that's part of the midweek kind of lull that Auburn fell into in that game. But that's something that Coach Thompson and this staff really want to avoid at all costs. Now, here's the thing. This game shouldn't cost you all that much. It's going to be a quad one game. Auburn's already got 16 quad one wins in this season. That's tied for first in the SEC. And we'll ultimately end up with I think 30 plus quad one games this season. Yeah. So ultimately, it's not one of those must win games or anything like that. But to even that season series up is very much a motivating factor for this team and this staff.
And then you look ahead towards this weekend, one of the biggest series of the entire year in Auburn hosting Georgia. Georgia this past weekend wrapped up winning the regular season in terms of the SEC. But Hillman, we talked about this in the postseason, or the preseason of baseball rather, in terms of, man, if Auburn can get 14 conference wins, their non-conference strength of schedule and their non-conference wins will hold up a lot of weight. If they get to 15 and 15, it will just boost their resume. Now you're at the point of Auburn doesn't need a boost. You're at 16 SEC wins. You still have an entire series to go, plus at least one more game in Hoover, four more SEC games. If you get to 17, 18, and then you get in the conversation of 19 and 20, not only are you a top eight national seed, I mean, you're one of the very first teams that's going to hear their name called, and rightfully so with what Auburn's been able to do.
Yeah, I think we talked a lot this season about all time and what that means for this baseball program. And I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is one of the bigger series of all time, especially in the regular season, that we'll see at Plainsman Park. Obviously, the first top five matchups in Plainsman Park history took place when Auburn hosted Georgia Tech and Texas in the same week. Yeah. And now Georgia comes to town as the SEC champion. The Tigers looking to improve their seeding in Hoover for the SEC tournament. Of course, that's not necessarily the thing that's forefront of the mind. You're looking ahead to the NCAA tournament. That doesn't mean that the SEC tournament doesn't matter. So you're trying to improve the seeding. You're playing a rival and trying to knock them off as they've already been crowned SEC champions. So all of that to factor in to what is going to be a monumental weekend at Plainsman Park. And I would almost expect more attendance records to be set. Weather should be perfect. And that's kind of where we're sitting at. Obviously, you're looking at Jack State tomorrow night, first of all, but that this weekend is going to be absolutely electric at Plainsman Park. It's going to be one of the best series that we've seen in that ballpark's history. And it's a Georgia team that hits a lot of home runs. Yeah. The Auburn team, the pitching has obviously been so dynamic this year and does a pretty good job at keeping the ball in the ballpark. But I think the key is going to be Auburn's bats against Georgia's pitching, and if they can stay consistent and continue to find offensive firepower.
Yeah, you do not have to sell that series anymore. It's all the billing for it is all over. But another thing going on this weekend that I want to ask about, the honoring of Josh Donaldson into the Wall of Fame for the Tigers. He will join Frank Thomas, Tim Hudson, Greg Olson, and Bo Jackson. Speak to me kind of about what the impact that Josh has had on Auburn's baseball program as of late, and especially on this team in particular.
Yeah, those names you just mentioned that are already on the War Eagle Wall at Plainsman Park, that's enough to talk about the legend that Josh Donaldson is and the territory that he's entering by being inducted into the Wall of Fame with those guys. But Josh, and he spoke with Andy Burcham on the Talking Tigers podcast this week, so watch that on War Eagle Plus. Listen to it wherever you listen to your podcast. It's a great conversation between the two about him going into this induction and really his entire career at Auburn and in the major leagues, of course, winning MVP in the AL about 10 years ago now. And really, when you talk about his impact, you have the Josh Donaldson hitting facility in right field, the Donnie, as Andy and Brad like to call it now. He has been invested in this program since he left, and obviously as he was here. And it's so cool to have legends like him that want to come back, that want to be a part of the program. And then obviously Auburn repays him by putting his jersey number out left field on the wall. So it'll be really cool to see him back at Plainsman Park. Cool to see him honored this weekend.
We got Jacob Hillman with us on the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line. And by no means whatsoever are we wishing away baseball season, but man, things are going to get going in Jordan-Hare Stadium here in just a couple of months. And Auburn gets a quarterback over the weekend, Gary Chapman Jr., the 6-foot, 190-pound quarterback out of Brookwood High School. A very good system fit for this Alex Golish offense. Brings Auburn up to 38th nationally. I want to throw that question to you on why Auburn fans should not panic and why wins may be the biggest factor in recruiting for this Auburn team in year one.
Yeah, actually, things will get rocking in Jordan-Hare in just a few weeks with the soccer match between Argentina and Iceland. But as far as the American football side with Coach Alex Golish, you're exactly right. It's got to be proven. It's got to be proof of concept put on the field. And in this transfer portal era, obviously, it's a lot different. And things are changing rapidly, even as we speak, with how the transfer portal is going to be utilized and with NIL and everything, obviously. But these are still going to be things that have to be adjusted to when you bring in a new coaching staff, and that's become all too familiar now with this program. But now it's time to solidify what this program is. And I think Coach Golish and his staff have a good plan of that. Like you said, it's got to be proven on the field. That's most important. And I think it's still a good start as far as the recruiting trail goes for this coaching staff and this program as it stands.
And Jacob, other Auburn events going on right now that to fill everybody else in about. I know that a couple of postseason teams are making their way to Athens, Georgia. I know Auburn women's tennis taking on top 10 LSU, Auburn golf in there as well. So tell the people what all they need to know in those sports and anything else going on that's in your world.
Yeah, what a season so far for Auburn women's tennis. The second seeded team in the country, number one ranked team in the country, taking down Duke this weekend. A huge attendance. That match was supposed to be held outdoors, and the weather didn't cooperate. They go inside, still had north of 600 in attendance, the highest attended match in Auburn women's tennis history. But they advanced to the national quarterfinals for the first time in program history. They'll be facing off with LSU this upcoming week. So that'll be a first time ever. That's going to be in Athens, and just a huge matchup with that LSU team. That they're 9 seed, one of the hotter teams in the country. But that match will take place on Friday at 9 a.m. Central in Athens, and then obviously action will take place throughout the weekend. Hopefully Auburn continues to win and is able to play for a championship. Going on right now, Auburn women's golf is at the NCAA Louisville Regional, sitting in a tie for 5th place, 2 under par, 4 shots back of the lead, which is Houston. Top 5 teams advance out of that regional into the national championship. As you mentioned, Auburn men's golf, no question about it, takes the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. We'll go to Athens for their regional in a couple of weeks, some time off because of U.S. Open local qualifying. Obviously, a lot of those guys will be trying to qualify for that, but then they'll get back in action for NCAA regionals. And then a huge weekend on the plains. On top of Auburn baseball, Auburn track and field will be hosting SEC championships at Hutzel-Rosen Track. So May 14th through 16th, that's Thursday through Saturday, there will be action going on all day at Hutzel-Rosen Track. You can take it in. Tickets are available right now online at aubtix.com. It's an all championship pass, so you can go Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Re-entries allowed, so get out, support those teams. Obviously, some electric sprinters on the men's side, and then a ton of events going on Thursday through Saturday. You can go to auburntigers.com for all the details there, kind of when the events are going to be happening and everything there, as well as your ticket information. And then Auburn baseball obviously hosts Georgia this weekend. Top five matchup at Plainsman Park. Coverage on the Auburn Sports Network, Wings 94.3 FM in the Auburn area. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Thursday, Friday game times at 7 with coverage beginning at 6:45. And then the regular season finale on Saturday at 2 o'clock with coverage beginning at 1:45. So much going on in the world of Auburn athletics, and we can't wait to bring it to you on the Auburn Sports Network.
You mentioned it, so much going on, my goodness. A couple of teams already in the postseason, a couple very much nearing it. And again, on the way out of here, I've had a couple of texts about it over the past couple of days and wanted confirmation on it in terms of Auburn golf. Although they're, again, one of the best teams, if not the best team in the entire country, the regional sites are made a couple of years in advance, correct? To where it's not like it's not a shot that Auburn is not hosting a regional this year, right?
That would be correct. And Auburn University Club has hosted in the past on the men's and the women's side. So if they are hosting, then the Tigers would be in that field kind of regardless. Even if I recall correctly, the last two times that Auburn has hosted golf regionals on the men's and women's side, they were not the top seed either time, and we're still in that field. So it is, yes, decided well in advance. That's something that takes a lot of time to plan and get ready for. So Auburn got the closest geographical site that it had, and that was at.
A great problem to have that you got so much going on in your world. We appreciate your time as always. We look forward again to talking with you next week.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And one last quick shout out to Jason Campbell, a member of the Auburn Sports Network, our color analyst for Auburn football, inducted into the class of 2026 Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. So congrats to him and everyone else, Kim Evans as well as Tommy Coverville, inducted from the Auburn side. So thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Yes, sir. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here joining us on the phone lines, as he does every single Monday at 3:30. We'll take our final break, come back, wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line, plug everything regarding high school baseball in there as well. We're back right after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Monday edition of On the Line. Appreciate Jacob Hillman for joining us from the Auburn Sports Network, giving us his insider on Auburn baseball, Auburn football, and everything going on the plains here upcoming this weekend, on the road as well, as a lot of teams he mentioned are beginning their postseason run, and a couple more are working their way towards a big-time postseason run. And my goodness, I looked up Auburn men's golf over the break, as we have just a minute or two before we wrap everything up. Or before the music kicks us out of here. And it's just so funny looking at Jackson Koivin and the awards that he's being nominated for. AuburnTigers.com/Koivin has an entire website on his entire career stats, 11 career wins, 32 top 10 finishes. This season he has 6 wins and 10 top 10 finishes, 25 rounds below par. I mean, it's absolutely absolutely insane to think about what he's been able to do. And we talk about the Wall of Fame and the Hall of Fame for all of these sports, and my goodness, at the end of everything, when everything is said and done, this name right here could be at the very top.
Oh, I mean, yeah, pound for pound, probably the most dominant player in Auburn athletics history comparatively to his sport. I mean, he is just, I cannot wait to see him on the PGA Tour. May see him hopefully have maybe like a green jacket one day. We'll go in person and check it out.
Wouldn't complain about that whatsoever. Already like a top 50 player
in the
world of golf, regardless of where you look. I mean, it's absolutely insane to think about. But that'll do it here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Man, we appreciate everybody for being here with us. Tune in to 96.3 WLEE, 963WLEE.com, that Radio Alabama app. Auburn High School taking on Enterprise at Troy here this afternoon. Games 1 and 2 at 5 and 7:30, if game tomorrow afternoon. But regardless, we're back tomorrow from 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. For my good buddy Trip Upton and for Jacob Goins on the road, I'm Christian Griffin. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.